This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Today we'll find out what's up with Axl Rose never finishing the next Guns N' Roses album, and we'll hear from the filmmaker Eric Steele, who tries to figure out the dark secret of the most beautiful bridge in America. But first, here's the pitch. Blonde sorority girl from Bel Air, boyfriend dumps her. Instead of taking that in stride, she follows the guy all the way to law school, Harvard Law School. And 90 minutes later, she has ditched the guy, won the hearts of the faculty and student body, and taken the judicial system by storm. All thanks to her charm, brain power, and extensive knowledge of grooming products.
Isn't it the first cardinal rule of perm maintenance that you're forbidden to wet your hair for at least 24 hours after getting a perm, at the risk of deactivating the ammonium thioglycolate?
Order! Order!
The movie is Legally Blonde, which made Reese Witherspoon a household name. And now Broadway producers have, inevitably in this day and age, turned it into a big, splashy musical. Joining me today is the songwriting team who were given the task of musicalizing the film comedy, Lawrence O'Keefe and Nell Benjamin, who have been nominated for a Tony. Larry, Nell, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
So much of this story is set at Harvard University, which is where you both were undergraduates 15 years ago?
We'll say over 10.
How did it feel to revisit Harvard for Legally Blonde?
Well, we almost never really left because it's such an experience having gone there. And, of course, there is a significant difference between the law school and Harvard proper where we went. I'm not sure I would have made it through the law school.
And real life and musical theater.
Oh, no. There's no difference at all in that.
We accept no difference at all.
You know, all of the musical numbers are drawn from our experiences in and around Cambridge.
We wanted to show exactly how Harvard students really do burst into song.
But was it a dream? Oh, my God, we get to do a show set at Harvard?
It kind of was. And that's when we sort of got slapped upside the head by reality, because when we started writing songs about getting into Harvard or the law school or LSATs, they kept saying...
We had a big LSAT number.
And they said, shut up, this is not about law school. It's about love, or it's about learning to respect yourself. And we put in more numbers that have hopefully a more ecumenical appeal.
Neither of you grew up as rich, spoiled girls in Southern California, as far as I know. Was it a big stretch to sufficiently inhabit the character of Elle?
Well, I kind of shied away from inhabiting the character of Elle because there are a lot of fans of the movie and of Reese Witherspoon playing the character. And we wanted them to be happy, but we also wanted other people who sort of walked in off the street to be happy as well. And it is very, very hard to make a rich, beautiful, blonde, thin sorority girl an underdog for purposes of a musical. So
harder than it was in the movie, do you think?
I don't know. I mean,
I think so. I think because of Reese Witherspoon's brilliant talent and her close-up, that told so much of the story, and we don't have that on stage because the audience is 50 feet away.
Right.
And you have to externalize a lot of these feelings. And so we had to have her come up with stuff to say and sing at the top of the story that would make you realize, oh, she has a lot to learn, but yet not hate her.
And the division of labor, to be clear, is?
Nell has written book and lyrics for her own shows, and I have written music and lyrics for my separate shows, but together we're very amorphous, and it's kind of fun that way.
So an unstoppable force.
Rodgers, Hammerstein, one word, I guess.
We hope.
How did you meet?
We met actually auditioning for an improv comedy group at Harvard.
They told us that Nell was Jane Goodall and I was a chimpanzee.
So we pretty much humiliated ourselves in front of each other. And after you've done that, the small talk is easy.
But so the meet cute was really the meet cute?
It really was. Incredibly cute. It's like page 3 and everything.
And then you broke out in song and sang a song about that.
I damn well did. No, I don't know.
That was going to be disgusting.
It was a bouncy hit, yeah.
You were married, even though you met now like almost 20 years ago, you were only married 6 years ago.
I'd say over 10 years ago we met.
Ah. Legally Blonde came out right after you got married, I noticed. What did you think? Did you see it and have reactions to it back in 2001?
It was the best movie I'd ever seen on an airplane. And then I saw it again on video and I thought, wow, this was surprisingly smart.
So at one point you were under the gun to write an opening song. Tell me about that.
I think the opening number is the hardest number to write and couldn't think of anything.
And this is what time of day or night?
This was about 3 in the morning, I think, day or so before it was due.
Yeah. Really?
So.
And then finally Nell looked at me and said, well, what if we called it Oh My God, You Guys? And there was a long pause. And then we
blinked
both,
at each other.
We both ran to the keyboard and then we just banged it out in about an hour because it seemed so right. It was sort of the key into the characters. It's at the Delta Newhouse at UCLA in California at the top of the show. And you see the front house, which looks like Tara. It's this beautiful plantation house. And out of one window bursts one girl and she's got a card she's signing and she hands the card to another girl who bursts out of another window. You get the idea.
He's a lucky guy. I'm like gonna cry. I got tears coming out of my nose. Mad props. He's the campus catch. You're a perfect match, 'cause you both got such great taste in clothes. Of course he will propose. Oh my God, oh my God, you guys. Looks like Elle's gonna win the prize. If there ever was a perfect couple, this one qualifies. Oh my God, you guys. Oh my God, this is happening. Our own homecoming queen and king. Finally, she'll be trying on a huge engagement ring for size. Oh my God, you guys. Oh my God.
That was Lawrence O'Keefe performing
wow.
Oh My God, You Guys.
I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Actually, we went to the sorority where Reese Witherspoon had actually gone to research her character. And they said, you're working on the musical, and do you have any songs from it? And we said, no, but our first number is called Oh My God, You Guys. And the president said, Oh My God, You Guys, it's
oh my
great.
God.
Oh My God, You Guys,
oh my
I
God.
Said it.
I
oh
said,
My God, you said
oh,
it.
You said,
oh my
you,
God.
I said it again.
So we thought we must be doing something right.
I understand you've rewritten... how dare you?
The cardinal sin.
The
yes.
Pirates of Penzance. For a new staging of the show?
She fixed it.
Yes. No. Well, this was an idea of Gordon Greenberg's, who is a brilliant director. And Gordon was noticing the phenomena of the Disney Pirates of the Caribbean movies and wondering if there wasn't some kind of pirate musical available. And we tried to stick to the spirit of Gilbert and Sullivan, but really... treat it more like a musical than an operetta.
Can we hear a little bit of it? Maybe Modern Major General?
Can, you, yes.
Nell has to do this because she
really
knows the lyrics.
I don't really sing, but I can...
Well, you know the Modern Major General song, which goes, I am the very model of a modern major general. I've been from...
The original was very much a parody in the Victorian age of generals who are much more familiar with the theory of war than its practice. And we've set the musical earlier to kind of take into advantage the very beginnings of British imperialism and what lesson that might hold for us today. So we decided our major general feels like he can do great good for the backwards peoples of the world. He's just a cheerful bigot, and that's kind of what we tailored his song for.
You gotta do it.
From the second verse?
Second verse.
Okay. Now if I seem to boast, I hope that everyone will pardon me, but being posted here among the savages is hard on me. They live in total squalor and they're hopeless intellectually. They're also fairly dirty and they're deviated sexually. Oh, it's true. They're superstitious, truculent, and constantly attacking us. They say it's God who tells them to, though God is clearly backing us. But that's why we have empires, so the natives, to their gratitude, can learn or else be forced to learn our more enlightened attitude.
Can learn or else be forced to learn a more enlightened attitude. Can learn or else be forced to learn a more enlightened attitude. Can learn or else be forced to learn a more enlightened attitude.
And someday they'll appreciate how far things have progressed for them, and then they will admit that only I knew what was best for them, because in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general.
Because in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, he is a very model of a modern major general.
That was Nell Benjamin's reworking of Pirates of Penzance for a new production of the Gilbert and Sullivan operetta as a musical this time. Can you imagine making a musical out of other movies that we know and love?
Yes. I have always wanted to make a musical out of Star Wars, but I was traumatized to find out that it had already been done.
A nice big tap number to These Aren't the Droids You're Looking For.
Oh, you know what we could do? We could do Gladiator, too.
Oh, yeah. That's we could
right.
totally
yeah,
do
yeah.
Gladiator. But it's not our original music. When we saw Gladiator, we thought there was definitely...
Because we thought Gladiator was a great movie. We love ancient Rome. And then we listened to the tune of the main theme by Hans Zimmer, and it goes like this. We're like, wait a minute, what does that sound like? Oh, I know. It sounds like Bye Bye Birdie.
We love you, Maximus. Oh, yes, we do. Sing with me. We love you, Maximus, and we'll be true. When you're not near us, we're so blue, so blue. Oh, Maximus, Maximus.
And it's
that's very
perfect.
Funny.
I dare you to watch the movie without singing that.
Now, some girls, young women who treat people really badly, I understand. Lara, you are working on a musical about adapted from the movie Heathers.
Yes. Nell and I had been offered Heathers a couple of years ago, and we turned it away because we thought it was too nihilistic. And then a different team got the rights, and they came to me. They already had a couple of people, writers on board. And I looked at the movie again, and I said, you know, there actually is a message here. It's a really – there's a way, I think, of doing Heathers without it being this nihilistic thing or promoting violence as a frivolous sort of fun thing. And so I got nothing for you now, but hopefully I'll come back and show you what I have.
Nell Benjamin, Lawrence O'Keefe, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you
very much for having us.
Legally Blonde the musical is playing on Broadway right now. And you can hear a track from the brand new, not even released yet, Broadway cast recording at studio360.org. Coming up next, the pressure to make the Great American Rock album turns a superstar into a recluse.
It's almost like he's Sisyphus, but like he has purchased the rock and the mountain.
Shed a tear 'cause I'm missing you.
The new Guns N' Roses album is finally, maybe, allegedly going to come out. We'll find out more just ahead in Studio 360 from PRI, Public Radio International. Stay with us.